We will turn to the scriptures now. We're reading from John, continuing in John. We're reading from chapter 10, so please open your Bibles if you have one. We're picking up the story just after Jesus has healed the man that was born blind, and he's talking to the Pharisees. We're picking up in John chapter 10 from verse 1. "Very truly I tell you, Pharisees, anyone who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice." Jesus used this figure of speech, but the Pharisees did not understand what he was telling them. Therefore, Jesus said again, "Very truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who have come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep have not listened to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me, just as the Father knows me and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life, only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I receive from my Father." The Jews who heard these words were again divided. Many of them said, "He is demon-possessed and raving mad. Why listen to him?" But others said, "These are not the sayings of a man possessed by a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind?" Amen.
Hi everyone, it's great to see you all here this morning. It's quite common for us, isn't it, to use animals as metaphors for positive human characteristics. For example, we may say that someone is as strong as an ox, or as wise as an owl, as brave as a lion, as graceful as a gazelle, as majestic as an eagle. But let me tell you this morning that no one has ever used sheep to describe positive human qualities. No one has ever paid someone else a compliment by saying, "Well, you're as strong as a sheep," or "You're as wise as a sheep," "as brave," or "as graceful," or "as majestic as a sheep." Because if you know anything about these woolly creatures, then you will know that they are none of these things. But yet, in the passage that we're looking at today, sheep are the very animals that Jesus chooses as a metaphor for us. In this passage, Jesus says that you and I, yes, every single one of us, that we're like sheep. And so this morning, we want to discover why that is. But before we do that, we need to remember the context. For this passage, even though it's not so obvious, still continues the narrative of chapter 9. It all began there when Jesus healed the man who was blind from birth. And then last week we saw the story continue as that man was interrogated by the Pharisees, who sought to find a way to condemn Jesus, his healer. And at the end of the chapter, Jesus explained that he had come into this world to bring sight to the blind, but also loss of sight for those who think that they can see. His coming, he said, both saves and condemns. But now Jesus expands upon his own words, providing commentary on what had just taken place. We see that in the way that there's actually no break in the story. It just continues from chapter 9 into chapter 10. And we see it in the way that verse 1 says that Jesus is actually still speaking to the same Pharisees. And we see it in verse 21 as the people again refer back to the very same miracle of the blind man being made to see. But in commenting on what's happened, here in our text, Jesus uses an extensive and a detailed image. He speaks to us of sheep, but also of a sheep pen with a gate, and also of a shepherd, a good shepherd. And in doing this, he is actually painting for us a beautiful picture. It's a picture of himself and of his own tender heart for needy people, just like that blind man, and just like us. So we begin this morning with the sheep image, which is spread right throughout the passage from beginning to end. But we need to remember that unlike today, back then sheep were a very common part of daily life. The people who Jesus spoke to saw them all the time, and many of them had flocks of their own. And so they understood the nature of these animals and they understood what they are really like. And that's also why in the Old Testament, sheep are regularly used as a metaphor. For example, Numbers chapter 17, when Joshua was anointed, Moses said to the Lord, "May the Lord, the God who gives breath to all living things, appoint someone over this community to go out and come in before them, so the Lord's people will not be like sheep without a shepherd." Or think, of course, of Psalm 23, "The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul." Or Psalm 100, "Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture." And I'm sure you also know of Isaiah 53. "We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way." And Ezekiel chapter 34 says, "For this is what the sovereign Lord says, I myself will search for my sheep and look after them, as a shepherd looks after his scattered flock when he is with them. So I will look after my sheep." The people of Jesus' day, they understood the nature of sheep. But they also understood that God saw them as being like sheep. But what's really at the core of that comparison? Well, it's that sheep, my friends, are weak and needy and vulnerable. I mean, to be perfectly honest, out of all the animals that God has put on this good earth, I really struggle to think of any that's more hopeless than a sheep. You see, they're animals that are easily hurt or injured. They're susceptible to sickness and to parasites, unable to even keep themselves clean. They're animals that easily get lost and isolated. They're unable to provide for their own needs. And on top of that, they're incredibly powerless in the face of predators. I ask you this morning, have you ever seen a sheep that's toppled over and can't even get back on its own feet? I mean, what pathetic animals they are. But yet Jesus says, that's us. So how do you feel about that? Perhaps you're actually a bit offended because you actually see yourself as quite clever and quite strong and quite capable. Perhaps you're rather certain that you are able to look after yourself. You know how to have a perfect life with perfect relationships and achievements and happiness. You know just what it takes to be healthy, wealthy, and wise. And so you are filled with self-reliance and self-confidence and self-righteousness. If that's you, then I don't think you'll be warming to this idea of being compared to a pathetic sheep. But that may also mean that you're a lot like those Pharisees who so proudly thought that they were something rather special, who so proudly thought that they could see, even though Jesus told them they were blind. But friends, perhaps when you hear this, you're actually not offended. Because over the years, you have come to realise, as you have faced the reality of life in this world, that we're actually not that clever, and not that strong, and not that capable. Because behind those outward appearances that we like to put forward, we actually are weak and needy and vulnerable. I mean, we're just so vulnerable to the struggles and the sufferings of this world. We may think that we're going okay for a time, but before we know it, the storm clouds roll in. We lose our job, or the business goes bust. There's tensions in our home. Relationships break down. Marriages fail. We're afflicted by poor health, or by disability, or by mental illness. We're burdened by stress, or by frustrations, or by feelings of regret and disappointment. We're filled with loneliness, or sadness, or futility. But on top of that, we're also vulnerable to the attacks of the evil one. Satan, he comes at us with doubts and with temptations. And as a result, we ruin our own lives as we listen to him, as we fall into idolatry and selfishness, immorality and jealousy, bitterness and addiction. And in the end, we find ourselves far away from God and the blessings that he provides. And even if somehow we manage to have a great life and we even think that we're a pretty good people, well, death still comes in the end. And we've been reminded of that again this past week, haven't we? We're here today and we're gone tomorrow. And this is where our ultimate vulnerability is exposed. For what power do we have at that moment when we breathe our last breath? And the Bible says, no matter who we are, we're all sinners in God's sight, and we deserve the eternal condemnation of hell. My friends, if we're willing to get real, then we will know that Jesus' words are true. We are all like sheep. Like sheep, we have gone astray. We're weak and needy, easily hurt, susceptible to suffering, open to attack. Like sheep, we're dirty, we're lost, and we're helpless. Whether we like it or not, my friends, we're a lot like that toppled sheep that we all have seen, legs flailing in the air, totally unable to help ourselves. I ask you this morning, do you accept that truth about yourself? Have you actually admitted your own vulnerability, both in life and in death? Well, if you have, then Jesus' words here are for you. Because a second thing that we see in our passage is that Jesus speaks to us of a sheep pen. A sheep pen with a gate. You see, in those days, the flocks would graze out in the fields by day while it was light and while it was safe. But at night they would be brought into a large pen, usually constructed with high stone walls. And those walls were designed to keep the flocks in and the predators out. It was a place of security. But if we're weak and vulnerable, like sheep, then where's our place of security? Well, my friends, it's within the walls of God's kingdom. It's within the boundaries of His love and His grace and His protection. For we know that only the Lord can sustain us in life. Only the Lord can protect us from the evil one. Only the Lord can rescue us from the terrors of sin and of death and of hell. But how do we enter into His safety, into His family, His heaven, His love? Listen to what Jesus says in verse 7. Therefore, Jesus said again, "Very truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep." There is only one way, my friends, for sinful and suffering people to find the security and the protection of God, and that is through the Saviour who God has sent. On our own, we're blind, we're weak, and we're lost. But Jesus came to rescue us so that we can find solace in God's loving arms. Listen to what He says next. "All who have come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep have not listened to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full." Do you hear this, friends? Whoever enters through faith in Jesus Christ will be saved. Saved from their sin and from all of its consequences. As Jesus Himself tells us in John 14, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." And in Acts chapter 4, salvation is found in no one else. "For there is no name under heaven given to mankind, no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved." And Jesus explains that those who enter through Him, they find pasture, the riches of God's provision and His blessing. And those who enter through Him, they find life and they have it to the full. And I want to ask you this morning, who wouldn't want to experience life in all of its fullness, knowing God, experiencing an intimate relationship with Him, having peace and contentment regardless of outward circumstances, finding joy and finding purpose in a world that cannot provide it, and having absolute assurance that in the end we are going to be safe with our Lord? Have you put your faith in Jesus Christ, my friend? Like that blind man, have you said to Him, "Lord, I do believe, and now I worship You"? Jesus is the only gate into God's sheep pen. He is the only way to the Father. And so in Him we are able to find exactly what we have been searching for and exactly what we need: true, full, and eternal life. But in our passage, Jesus says that He's also so much more than just the gate. For while sheep certainly need the safety of a secure pen, they also need someone far greater than themselves to take care of them every day. What they need is a shepherd. And so Jesus reveals that as well as being the gate, He is also the shepherd of God's sheep. And not just any shepherd either, because in verse 11 and again in verse 14, He proclaims, "I am the good shepherd. He is the noble and righteous shepherd who is totally devoted to loving and caring for his flock, who is totally devoted to loving and caring for us. And so what are the implications of that? Well, there's many. I mean, for a start, we should realize that in calling himself the good shepherd, Jesus identifies himself with God. Do you remember all those Old Testament passages I mentioned earlier? Like Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd. And Ezekiel 34, where the Lord himself describes in much detail how he in fact is the loving shepherd of his flock. But here Jesus makes the very same claim, that he is the powerful, divine Son who has come into this world to save and care for God's people. But in calling himself the Good Shepherd, Jesus also contrasts himself to all those bad shepherds. You know, in that very same chapter in Ezekiel, chapter 34, you may want to read it later. The Lord has a lot to say there about the religious leaders of that day. In one verse there, he says, "Woe to you, shepherds of Israel, who only take care of yourselves. Should not shepherds take care of the flock?" But doesn't Jesus make exactly the same point here in our passage? Verses 1 and 2. "Very truly I tell you, Pharisees, anyone who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep." And we already saw before, verse 8, "All those who come before me are thieves and robbers." And verse 10, "The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy." There are others, aren't there, who are interested in the flock, but they're not seeking to help. They're seeking to harm. The primary enemy is, of course, the devil himself. 1 Peter 5 says, "Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour." His desire has always been to tear people away from God and to lead them into sin and condemnation. But there's also those who do the devil's work. In Ezekiel's day, they were the corrupt leaders of Israel. In Jesus' day, it was the same. Do you remember chapter 8 when he said to the Jewish leaders, "You belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desires"? But nothing has changed. There's so many cults, sects, and religions that only seek to drag people away from the one true God. There's so many secular forces in this world claiming that they will provide help, but in the end only bring harm. There's so many who come to steal and to kill and to destroy. But friends, what we need to understand is that Jesus is so different. In fact, he is the very opposite. For he is the only one who has been sent by God himself. The only one who has come not to steal, but to give. Not to kill, but to bring life. Not to destroy, but to restore. And so he alone is our good shepherd. But in calling himself this, Jesus also reveals his own tender heart. Listen to some of the beautiful things that he says. Verses 3 and 4, he says that as the good shepherd, the sheep listen to his voice. We listen because we know him, and we know that we can trust him. He is not a stranger to us. He is our saviour. He is our friend. Again, in verse 3, he also says that he calls his own sheep by name. And in verse 11, he says, "I know my sheep and my sheep know me." I want to ask you, have you ever stopped to think about that? Have you ever stopped to think about the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ, he knows your name? You're right there in his contact list. But more than that, He doesn't just know your name, he knows you. He knows everything about you. He knows your situation, even what you are going through right now, today. He knows your joys and your sorrows. He knows your successes and your failures. He knows your aspirations and he knows your struggles. Friends, how amazing to be able to say that Jesus, the Good Shepherd, he knows me. But again in verse 3, he also says that he leads his sheep out. And in verse 4, he says, when he has brought out all of his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him. Jesus doesn't only know us, friends, but he leads us. He is actively involved in our lives every single day. He's helping us, he's guiding us, he's correcting us, he's encouraging us. We can know that we will never, ever walk alone because our precious Saviour is with us, always. But there's still more. Because from verse 12, Jesus also contrasts himself to a hired hand. He says the hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and he runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he's a hired hand and he cares nothing for the sheep. You know what Jesus is talking about, don't you? He's talking about the temporary employee who just doesn't care. They're only there for the paycheck, but they've got no commitment to the work. We've all seen them. We may have even been them. The hired hand just does what he has to, but they're not his sheep. So when danger comes, he's out of there. Well, friends, how astonishingly comforting to know that Jesus is not like that. He's not just a committed employee, but he's the very owner of the business. The sheep belong to him, and so he'll do anything for them. And do you want to know the depth of that love and that care? Listen to verse 11. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Verses 14 and 15. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and my sheep know me, just as the Father knows me. And I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Here in these words, Jesus is turning our minds, isn't he, to the cross. For he knew full well that the day was coming where he indeed would lay down his life for weak, needy, vulnerable sheep like us. He would soon suffer the physical and mental anguish of intense human torture, and all the while be suffering the unspeakable wrath of his own Father until he breathed his last. And why? Because he's the good shepherd and he lays down his life for us. And not just for us, but for all who do and will cling to him in faith. Verse 16, he says, I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice. And there shall be one flock and one shepherd. His work is not finished. And my friends, let's never forget that this is the very reason why Jesus came. He came to save his people, both the Jews and the Gentiles. And don't forget that that cross was no mistake, and that Jesus did not go there against his will. Verses 17 and 18, Jesus says, the reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and I have authority to take it up again. This is the command I received from my Father. Friends, in this passage, Jesus compares us to weak, needy, vulnerable sheep. And I just really hope that this morning you can grasp what he's talking about. We're so vulnerable to the troubles and the trials of life, and to the attacks of Satan and those who do his bidding. And we're so vulnerable as our lives peter out and we stare death in the face. But Jesus tells us that there is a place where we can find all the help and all the protection that we need. And that safe haven is in the loving arms of our Heavenly Father. And he himself is the doorway. He's the only way to enter. Salvation is found in no one else. And even more than that, Jesus is also the shepherd who takes such perfect care of every lamb in his flock. He doesn't seek to harm us like all those thieves and robbers. He doesn't fail to protect us like the hired hand. But he knows us, and we can know him. And we have the most intimate bond with him. And he loves us so much that he even laid down his life to pay for your sin and mine, to bear the wrath that should have been ours, to reconcile us to the God who made us, and to give us everlasting life. And how should that all affect us? Well, my friends, it should make us feel so very safe. For the Son of God is our shepherd, who cares for us more than we will ever understand. It should make us feel very loved, for he gave everything to make us his own. And it should make us feel so very blessed as Jesus came that we might have life and have it to the full. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we know that there are times in life when we can feel just so confident in ourselves, thinking that we're strong enough to get by and good enough to earn heaven in the end. But Lord, we pray this morning, please open our eyes to the truth. May we realize our own desperate weakness and just how much we need you. And Lord, help us as we reach that point to see Jesus. For you have told us that he is the gate, that he is the only way to come to you. And he is the good shepherd. He's the one who knows us, cares for us, and laid down his life for us. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for all that you have done. And Jesus, please help us to know more and more each day the depths of your love. May we know those depths in our own heart and in our own soul. And even though we do not deserve it at all, that you've given up everything to make us your own. Lord Jesus, we believe in you as our Saviour and our King. We trust you in life and we trust you in death, and we want to follow you. Please hear our prayers and answer them in your grace. Amen.